Our Bible reading tonight is the first one from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for bringing us here this evening. We just ask you to bless us as we listen to your word, as we listen to Neil's message, as we just enjoy worshipping here together. Help us to take in what you would have us to have, what you would say to us tonight, that we would learn something new, that we'd be encouraged and we'd be motivated to be more outgoing for you. So, Father, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. From verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any other animals, nor the alien within your gate, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of here with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. I'll just read it from here. And Mark 2:23-6. One Sabbath Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Loving God, we give thanks that we're able to come here this evening, that we're able to come and worship you, that we are able to have a Sabbath day. Lord, as we come into this time of our worship, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So the question I have to ask you to start with tonight, have you ever met that person who knows everything? It doesn't matter where you've been, they've been there before and they know it better. You've just found out this great coffee shop, but they can tell you somewhere better still. In fact, no matter what you do, no matter what your experience is, they say to you, "No, it doesn't count for nothing because I know better." They totally invalidate your experience. You get this idea that, and all you want to do to them is say, "Just who do you think you are?" And I wonder if that's how the Pharisees felt about Jesus. Now, this little upstart who's roaming the countryside, doing things that are miraculous, but most of all, contradicting their law. And I'm sure in the minds of the Pharisees would have been the question, "Just who do you think you are?" Now, today we had two readings, one from Deuteronomy, the Old Testament. The seats up the front, we kept them just for you. Honestly, you don't have to slum it in the back seats. We see in Deuteronomy, though, that we talk about keeping the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath law. And then in the New Testament, we see this conversation about the Sabbath law again. Now, often we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament as being very different books, very different experiences. And I think if I was to look at the differences, I would say that the difference is that the Old Testament talks about Israel's relationship with Yahweh or with God. But the New Testament talks about our relationship with Jesus and our relationships with each other. It's much more about what are we doing with each other. Remember, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second is likewise, love your neighbor as yourself. See, it's all about relationship. But the consistency across both books is this idea of maintaining the Sabbath. So what is Sabbath? Well, if we look up where the origin of the word, it comes from Latin, sabbatum, via Greek and Hebrew, sabbat, which means to rest. So the whole idea of the Sabbath is to rest. And when we look at today's gospel readings, we've got two stories. The first story we have is the story of picking wheat in the wheat field. Now, as the disciples were walking through and they grabbed a few grains, they're not questioning them about stealing, because in those times, it was actually desirable that you never mowed right to the edge of the field. You always left a little bit at the edge. And that was for those who were poor and were unable to pay for food, or in this case, to feed the travelers. The problem was that Jesus and his disciples were picking the grains on a Saturday, the Sabbath. And that was what they were upset about, because they said, well, you should have prepared beforehand. If you needed food, you should have prepared it and brought it with you. The fact that they were traveling on the Sabbath in itself was a problem, because in some ways that could have been defined as work. Jesus is asked a question, and his response is, what is lawful when someone hungers? He doesn't answer their question so much as he reflects back a dilemma to them, and he says, what is the right thing to do? If someone is hungry, should we leave them to die, or should we feed them? Does it matter what day it is? Surely the needs of the individual come above the law. Then Jesus enters the temple, and in this case, it magnifies the situation. First of all, they're actually looking to see what is Jesus going to do. The question is not in the Pharisees' mind, does Jesus have the ability to heal this man? That's almost a given within their minds, because they know from what's happened beforehand. The question that they're looking at is, will he do it on a Sunday? And again, they challenge him. And Jesus' response is very simple. What is lawful when someone suffers? He doesn't answer their question, but he gives them another question. See, for them, Jesus was willfully disregarding the Sabbath law. The law that they believed was to give good order to life, to provide conditions for encountering God's blessings and holiness. So if the Sabbath is about a time of rest, when did it all change? 6 days God took to create the earth, it tells us in Genesis. And on the seventh day he rested. And from there we get this idea of a Sabbath. But then along comes our technology. See, it was very simple for us to rest. We worked from sun up to sundown. And from sundown to sun up, we rested. But then we discovered candles. And suddenly, sundown no longer had the effect of saying, let's go to rest. Along came electricity. Along came computers. Along came mobile phones. And suddenly, we live in a 24/7 world. A 24/7 world where we're answering emails that relate to work every day. Even when we leave work behind, we bring it home. And we find this idea of resting extremely difficult. Barbara Bryan Taylor, in her book, Remember the Sabbath, says, at best I can tell, most Christians follow 8 commandments. The second commandment was dispatched to the Council of Nicaea in 787, when the church decided that graven images were okay. And I think, she says, few Christians would regard icons such as stained glass windows or Jesus t-shirts as sinful. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, has undergone a more gradual demise. When Jesus declared that the Sabbath was made for humankind, many of his followers deduced that they were free from the Sabbath observance. See, it's really interesting. When I first came to Australia, you went to the shops on a Saturday and they closed at midday. Then it went to 5 o'clock, but meat still had to be through the cash register by 1 o'clock because the butcher's union was very powerful. Sunday then became a day of trade. And now we have 24/7 trading. But my story comes from Northern Ireland, a very different environment. See, when I left Northern Ireland, you couldn't buy a paper on a Sunday in a store because they simply weren't open. Not even a milk bar was open. They had a few people on the side of the road selling papers. That was the only way you could do it. I remember as a child, this is going to way back, 1974, it was the greatest World Cup football final ever in history. The power of West Germany was playing the beauty of the Netherlands. And here's me going, I want to see this match. Not understanding the schedule. Not understanding the difficulties. But what had happened is that it was being played in West Germany and the final was to be played Sunday afternoon. So here you have this young boy wanting desperately to see this football match on a black and white television and afraid almost to ask his grandmother, Granny, can I turn the television on a Sunday? Because the television was only turned on for 1 hour on a Sunday. And that was for what? No. Songs of praise. Good gosh. Why would you listen to the news on a Sunday? But you can say that was then. No, that was the old times. It's not the times that we live in now. Except 12 months ago, they actually played the first international game in Northern Ireland on a Sunday. And they had protests in the street saying, this is not right, this is God's day. So the question then is, what is it about the Sabbath? What is it that is important? Perhaps there's a humility question that plays into it. See, humility is about having the power to do something, but choosing not to exercise that power in order for someone else's good. The story goes that there was a young black man sitting on a bus. And as he was traveling along, 3 young white kids decided that they'd give him a hard time. They thought 3 against 1's pretty good odds. And as the bus trip went on, the insults got worse and worse, to the point that the young black guy decided that he had had enough, and he stood up. And when he stood up to his full height, the three young kids decided perhaps this wasn't such a good idea, as he looked a lot smaller when he was sitting down. Fortunately for them, the young black guy was actually getting off at his stop. But as he walked past them, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a business card and he handed it to them. And it said, Joe Louis, boxer. Joe Louis is considered to be one of the strongest punchers ever in the history of the game of boxing. With one punch, he could have knocked out all three of them. That was the power of his punch. He chose not to exercise the power that he had for the benefit of others. See, what is the purpose of the Sabbath? The Pharisees challenged Jesus on a point of law, and Jesus gives them a lawyer's answer. He does not answer them, rather, he asks a question back. In doing so, Jesus is actually challenging them to think of the law, not as something that is fixed, not as something that is intransigent, but perhaps something that is there to protect us. See, Jesus wants them to look at the law differently. Kenneth Galbraith once said, faced with the choice between changing one's mind and proving that there is no need to do so, almost everyone gets busy on the proof. Changing our mind and going on a new path is hard and stressful. It is much easier to stick to the old rules and criticize them than do a new thing. See, in answering the questions the way that Jesus does, Jesus challenges the Pharisees to look at what is the purpose of the law. The challenge then for us today is to look at how we use the Sabbath. See, this could easily be a message about how you must keep the Sabbath. But see, that would make it a message about law. And that's not what Jesus is trying to get across. Jesus is trying to show that the inbreaking of the reign of God is so great that we're no longer concerned about law, but we're concerned about compassion and transformation. Jesus, like the God who instituted the Sabbath, is committed to preserving life. See, in this instance, in these stories, Jesus was more likely trying to get the disciples to understand what the purpose of the Sabbath was, that it was a divine gift, not a divine burden. He's challenging the disciples on the question, just who do you think you are? The Sabbath is a gift, just as grace is a gift, and we can do with that gift what we like. But like grace, God wants us to open that gift. He wants us to open the Sabbath, to use the time to preserve our lives, to use it to rest and recover, to use it to reconnect to Him and to others in our lives. You see, the Sabbath gives us an opportunity to exercise our humility. We have an opportunity to use our power for the good of others, the opportunity to invest in ourselves and our relationships with God. But ultimately, the power is ours, and it's up to us to decide what we do. Do we want to keep running around 24/7 answering emails? Or are we more interested in relationship with each other and a relationship with our Creator? Let us pray. Loving God, you are a renewing God. We just ask that at this time that you allow us to slow down. to reconnect to one another, to reconnect with you. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.